All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View for Monday evening, July 11th, 2011. I'm your humble host, PK, back here, back in the saddle, ready to interview an interesting guest. As always, I'd like to thank BBSRadio.com for sticking up for free speech, and as I'm sure our guest will agree with me, thank goodness for alternative media, because they're really doing their job to help us get free speech, continue free speech, free thought, and to bust through the status quo corporate, the news establishment, the opinion cartel, if you will. Tonight's guest, I'm excited to interview. His name is Drew Malone Raines. He is a former decorated United States Marine. He served from 1967 to 1977. And his uncle was the famous U.S. Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler, who wrote a book called War is a Racket. And I've become a fan of General Butler's. I wasn't familiar with him till a few years ago. So I hope to have a lively discussion tonight with Drew about the military, foreign policy, government, and geopolitics. And he'll be on shortly. It's interesting to see that as broke as our country is, Obama administration is ready to give $800 million to Pakistan to support their military. And I think some of the Pakistani generals said, you know, we don't want your money with all the strings that comes attached to it. But just imagine that, $800 million. Now, there's millions of people out of work here, roads and bridges in need of repair, and all this foreign aid, you know, $800 million. Well, how many roads would that repair, or, you know, how many teachers would that pay? So, again, I'm very concerned about our country and the economy and how it just seems to be not improving. It's stalled. Unemployment is much higher than they say it is. I'm sure it is. I bet it's at least 20%, including the people who have given up looking for work. And still they're trying to figure out a way to cut the debt between the Republicans and the Republicrats and the Demopubs. I've been saying all along there's plenty of good ways to cut it that I have suggested, especially the drug war, foreign aid, overseas bases, military, all these kind of things that they don't want to touch. Meanwhile, America's children and grandchildren are faced with massive debt. Okay, it looks like our guest is here. Drew, are you out there, sir?
No, I'm not out here. I'm here.
Okay, great. Welcome to Third Stream View.
I appreciate the invitation. How are you this evening?
Good. Would you like some tea or coffee?
Say what?
Would you like some tea or coffee?
Steel coffee.
Tea or coffee?
Oh, I have my own, thank you.
Okay, because it is self-service here.
I heard that. That's why I have my own.
Well, again, welcome and thank you for being available. I just heard about you recently. I didn't know that Smedley had a nephew. Or I assume you're Smedley Butler's nephew. Is that correct?
Great nephew. On my mother's side.
I figured it might have been your mother's side.
A lot of people think that everybody forgets that you have a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother, and your mother had a maiden name, and your grandmother had a maiden name, and your great-grandmother had a maiden name, and they don't realize all the people they're related to.
Yes,
accidentally found out through research of my family tree that my grandmother actually had letters from Major General Butler in 1915. And
wow.
I looked at this letter that was dated, late 1915, to my grandmother, who was like at that time 15 or 16 years old, and he's writing to her, and he's telling her that he sees war is imminent in Europe. And I see this name down there, and it says Smedley. And I'm thinking, Smedley? And I'm a former decorated United States Marine. The only Smedley that I know that was in the Marine Corps was Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. So I started doing some more research, and I found out that this was sent to her from Pennsylvania. And I did more and more research, and I started finding out that who the family members of the Butler family were, Smedley Butler, and this was a letter from Major General Smedley. Well, he wasn't a major general at that time,
right.
But he was from the soon to be General Butler, and Major General, and that later became Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. And I put two and two together over a period of weeks and found out I got, you know, fourth cousins in Pennsylvania by the last name of Butler.
Wow. Interesting. Thanks for sharing that.
And then I went
out
and found his grave in Pennsylvania that that was basically just overlooked.
Huh.
And now we've got Marines that go over and take care of it.
Great. So, you know, I don't know much about you. I know that you served. Thank you for your service. You were 10 years in the Marine Corps. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you do your own radio show?
I have my own radio show, thanks to personal friends like Frank Whalen, Francis Stephen Hayes. Francis Stephen Hayes is the owner of the American Voice Radio Network. Jack McLam, who asked me to come in and sit for him. He was basically the first one because I was such an active protester in 2002 and 2003. Plus, I was a major protester in the 90s and invited Jack McLam here to Little Rock to a seminar. And other people out there like Richard McDonald, who used to talk about the citizenship issue.
Right.
And one thing led to another. Jack called me up on the phone and he said, Drew, my listeners really like your input and knowledge of history and the fact that war's a racket and we're actually losing our rights, and you're such a constitutionalist, we would like, you know, would you mind sitting in and doing a show for me? And the first show I did for Jack McLam was a one-hour show on empire building, and that was in 2003. And it really wasn't just one show; it was 3 hours, 3 days in a row on the empire building of the United States of America, and the demonizing of President Chavez in Venezuela when Chavez was getting 80% of the people vote, and the people that didn't vote for Chavez in Venezuela were the super rich, Illuminatist, elitist, and all those fascist business people that were keeping the Venezuelan people in slavery for all these hundreds of years. And Chavez, in the course of a four years in his first presidency, he started changing things around. And today, Venezuela has no illiteracy. Every man, woman, and child can read and write in that country. Now, you can't say that here in the United States. We got people here in America that graduate from high school that can't read a newspaper.
Sorry, I'm laughing, but what you say is true. And, you know, that's why I have this problem with American exceptionalism. Unless that means the ideals that we started with, you know, small government, small taxes. But I think this is a myth, this American exceptionalism. People have been led to believe that and think that the world revolves around America and there's a rude awakening happening.
Well, this is one of the things that you're right on point. I'm a decorated United States Marine, 3 tours in Vietnam. I left the Marine Corps because I was tired of the politics at the top. And
Right.
I basically resigned a commission, and now I'm retired, but I'm retired as an enlisted man and without all the politics. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I've been trying to see where you're coming from, because now I know that we're on the same page about a lot of things, because I didn't know where you are on things. I assume that you're probably a fellow truther, as I am.
Oh man, I'm a birther. I'm okay. Out there in the front line screaming bloody murder.
Okay.
Hey, this is what the Constitution says. There's no two ifs, ands, buts about it. Show me the law.
That's what I do, except I have a little copy of it, the Cato copy, and I hold it up when I've spoken the few times I have. I hold it up and say, please show me where it says that America is supposed to have an empire, where we're supposed to have over 800 military bases in over 140 countries. I know we're supposed to have a defense. I'm with you on that. That's in the Constitution. But where does it say we have to have this massive empire? And no one can answer that question.
Well, here's one. This is one for you. My great-great-uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, wrote, "War is a racket." He learned in the 20s that the World War I was nothing more to get money in the hands of elitist rich and to buy worthless wagons and stockpile wagons for the next war. Wagons. We're talking about horse-drawn wagons.
Sure, back then.
And we went into World War II, and Butler noticed this in 1937, that the United States Navy was obsolete with its coal-burning ships and diesel-powered ships that you could see for hundreds of miles away because of the black smoke.
Wow.
And we had no submarines. We didn't. We didn't have squat. And he was looking at the fact that the coming World War II was going to be instituted, but he didn't realize it was going to be instituted by the Japanese. He thought it was going to come specifically from Hitler. And Hitler and Mussolini were the bad guys of the time, but they were in bed with the Jewish elitist. They were in bed with the fascists of America, even George Herbert Walker Bush's father, Prescott Bush, provided money to the Nazi Party. But we don't hear those stories. We don't hear these truths out here. Well, American children are not educated. Do you know, PK, this is going to blow your audience away. Chicago Metroplex was founded in the 1770s by a Negro man.
Hmm.
And everybody forgets about the fact that the Moors, black people in from that originated in Africa, were here in American soil and were traded not from Africa to the United States, but were traded in 1500 from North American continent to Europe through Seville in Spain. And it's all documented, but Americans aren't told about the North American Negroes that were sold into slavery to the Europeans, i.e. the Italians, the Spanish, the Germans, the French, the British, the Norwegians, the Dutch, the Netherlands, the Dutch. And
right.
We're not told all of that.
Well,
we're not told that the Russian czars wanted to do away with slavery under Peter the Great.
And I think I've heard about
away
that.
With
yeah,
slavery in the nation of Russia. Russia is under Peter the Great terms, was not the big orchestration that we see today. It did go from the east to the west, as vast as it is, but it didn't encompass all these other little countries known as the USSR after World War II, where Stalin took over, and Stalin, the Communist Party, took over countries like Latvia and Latvia and Lithuania, and they took over Ukraine. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all part of history we do know a lot about. But we don't know the nitty-gritty stuff out there, like, case in point, Roosevelt knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor 10 days prior to, because a U.S. submarine that we had, and we only had 27 at that specific day, a United States submarine that was 3 years commissioned, diesel-powered, was blown out of the water by the Japanese Imperial Navy on its flight into shipping
journey
going toward Hawaii. And we had the Japanese code, basically 50% of the Japanese code was compromised before Pearl Harbor. But everybody talks about today that this guy went nuts breaking the Japanese code, and they didn't break the Japanese code until 1942 in July.
Wrong.
But in actuality, they broke the code in 1939, and they knew all about the attack on Pearl Harbor weeks ahead of advance. And even in the Hawaii newspaper, 7 full days before the attack of Pearl Harbor, the Hawaii newspaper printed on the front page, the Japanese are going to attack Pearl Harbor in the coming weeks.
I have a copy of that.
And I talk to people about that, and their mouth hits the floor.
Well, FDR, you know, I believe that Pearl Harbor was, I don't know if you'd call it a false flag, because that's when sort of a country, a government sets up its own country. But Roosevelt maneuvered Japan into World War II. You know, he embargoed their oil.
He goaded them. He
natural resources.
Japan into the war and made the Japanese. And there are people today, PK, that feel the Japanese are the evil people of the world. That, and these people are the people from Japan. I mean, are lived in the era of the 1940s. These people are in their late 70s, 80s,
right.
90s, and they have never traveled to Japan. They've never met a Japanese. They've never traveled to Vietnam. They've never met a Vietnamese. But they, daily, they badmouth the Vietnamese. They badmouth the Japanese. They badmouth the Chinese, and they've never met these people. Now,
I
have major reservations about the Chinese, because the Chinese is an imperialistic army, military, and they want to take over. But they don't want to take over like the Muslims do. The Muslims want to take over every country in the world, and yet we in America are afraid to profile the Muslims, and yet the Muslims are the ones that have done major damage to us because we're in their country. Contrary to what George Washington wanted us to do.
I'm glad you said that because what
Smedley Butler wanted us to do. And that was to live free, live independently, and leave the rest of the world alone.
Exactly. Armed neutrality.
Correct.
Armed neutrality.
Our Monroe Doctrine. Guard the continent of North America. Told the Europeans to stay out of this hemisphere. That's North and South America. Leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. Monroe Doctrine. Have we done that? No. Under the regime of the Bushes, the Clintons, and the last six presidents, all the way back to John Fitzgerald Kennedy. John Fitzgerald Kennedy wanted us out of Vietnam and was going to pull us out of Vietnam. He had already issued orders to pull us out, pull the Marines, every Marine that was in Vietnam in 1963 was to be home for New Year's.
He also wanted to splinter the CIA.
He was murdered in November. And the day after he was murdered, LBJ issued an executive order to double the size of the military in Southeast Asia and mandated the purchase of 1,000 helicopters through his wife's company. And that's basically what it was all about. A war is a racket, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. The rich got rich on Vietnam because of all of the fascist power of building and putting forth money that America didn't have to go to war to justify putting a young man in war and to justify the implementation of major input of drugs into America. How many Americans saw marijuana before 1963? Before 1964, 65. I went to high school. I never heard of marijuana until I went into the Marine Corps. So people tell me, unless you lived in the early 60s, you don't realize how dumbed down Americans have been. And this giving away money, welfare, the welfare state is nothing more than socialist, communist manifesto from day one. And income tax, second plank of the communist manifesto, is taxing the workers' money. And people in America sit there, they got to watch Dancing with the Stars. They got to watch The Bachelorette. They got to watch special this, special that. Oh, my God. What's her face? Is locked up in jail again. She was five-finger discounted some Wrigley's chewing gum. Or some girl down in Florida was found innocent by the jury, but she's really guilty. What hogwash is America becoming when you're not there, you didn't sit in the jury box, you didn't listen to 100% of the evidence, and you're going to tell me that somebody's guilty and she should hang?
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with America? I'll tell you what's wrong with America. We're going down the tubes fast and furious, PK. And God is paying attention.
Well, this massive welfare warfare state cannot be maintained. And, you know, the Fed is, you know, if they do QE3, I think we're done then. if they create trillions more, you know, this is ridiculous.
PK, let me tell you this. One, off the top of my head, I am totally surprised America is still floating right now and we're not fighting in the street. I'm surprised a loaf of bread isn't $50. I'm surprised people are still believing in that paper money that is printed by a few individuals called the Federal Reserve. I'm surprised people aren't learning how to barter. I am totally amazed at the number of radio shows that I do, me personally, my own radio show, promoting personal gardening, promoting
sure.
personal living. Promoting the fact that you can live free and independent, that what we have in America is we have a controlled society preventing us from having free electricity, preventing us from having automobiles run on water, preventing us from enjoying our personal work ethics and being happy. But we're controlled. We're fed. And we get down to food. The food that people get in the grocery store is not food anymore. It's processed GMO manure.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
Think, they wonder, they pick up a newspaper and say, America is obese. Most Americans are fat. And they say, well, I don't see a bunch of fat people. I say, go down to Walmart and sit on a bench. And see the people go in and out of Walmart.
I see
it. You will not see you will see people 5'5", weigh 300 pounds walking in the door.
Yeah, it's
you will
shame,
see
isn't it?
Little kids 8, 9, 10 years old walk in the door and they weigh 150 pounds.
I haven't seen
they
that in Europe.
Run down the street.
You know, I've seen overweight people in Europe, but not to the extent you see in the States.
I'm on my way to the Ukraine. And I'm classified as overweight for the Ukraine.
Well, they'll still let you in.
Okay, but what amazes me is that women and men, we'll start with women. Women in the Ukraine that are 5'9", average weight, 130 pounds. Men, 5'9", in the Ukraine, average weight. 160 pounds, 5'9". a man 6'2" in the Ukraine normally weighs about 200 pounds to 215. He's overweight at 240. That's where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's the difference between the people in the Ukraine? They're not starving to death. They eat three. I've got a friend over there, Alex. I call him Alex for short. I can't pronounce his whole full name. It's got 45 letters in it. But Alex is 6 foot tall, weighs 190 pounds, can hide behind a straw, as far as I'm concerned. But he goes out, he eats three eggs for breakfast, bacon, two slices of bread, sometimes three, and jam, and he eats potatoes. Like we have hash browns, but they're not hash browns over there.
Sure.
They're mashed potatoes and they're fried. Or not fried, but cooked on a grill, like a pancake.
Sure.
Flapjacks or something like that. And he has that every morning for breakfast. He has a big lunch and a big supper, and he snacks all day on Snickers. But the food that he eats is not GMO. He doesn't sit in the car and drive 45 minutes to work and 45 minutes to home. He walks to work. It takes him 45 minutes to walk to work in the morning, 45 minutes to walk home in the afternoon. He doesn't get in the car at lunchtime and drive somewhere to eat. He walks down the street to eat because he owns his own business,
right there.
And it takes an hour and a half for lunch. But he walks everywhere. And the food we eat in America, when you look at the label, it's got 14 or 15 names after the primary ingredients. And the primary ingredient, number one, is sugar.
Oh, yeah.
90% of the food that is eaten in the Ukraine does have no sugar in it at all.
Well, I've cut a lot of that out of my diet. I eat mostly fresh fruit and vegetables, and I still like meat, but I don't snack on junk food, you know, and I cut soft drinks out of my diet over 10 years ago, and I'm pretty healthy. I'm 56, but I've been quite healthy all my life, and, you know, as I continue to age gracefully, I want to be healthy.
Ditto. I'm aging gracefully. I've lost a ton of poundage. Here in the last couple of years, I got up to 310 pounds. I'm back down to 250.
Wow.
Okay, now
good
I've
for
got
you.
Friends that looked at me when I weighed 310, and their mouth would hit the floor because they didn't. They said I didn't look like it. At 250, uh-huh. I look like I weigh 220. But I got big bones. Bottom line is, the you watch what you eat, and you stop eating potato chips. You stop drinking fruit toast. That's what you're not drinking Coca-Cola anymore, unless you order your Dr. Pepper from the Dr. Pepper company down in Texas. Every soft drink on the market is made with fructose.
That's awful.
There's a Dr. Pepper company that uses the original recipe from 1898, and they use pure cane sugar, natural sugar, not processed. Sugar.
Right. Hey, Drew,
they use natural sugar from sugar cane. They put it on their label.
Right.
But who wants to pay, you know, twice the cost of a bottle of a Dr. Pepper? They would rather pay. Oh, well, I don't want to pay a dollar for an 8-ounce bottle of Dr. Pepper when I can get a liter of Dr. Pepper for 89 cents. And 99% of that is fructose.
Sugar water, baby.
It's all sugar water. I mean, I have bees. I got 15 hives of bees. And I feed them sugar water for their nourishment. But they have a process in which they convert that sugar into honey.
Right.
And people say, well, what does all this have to do with the Constitution and the politics? It has everything to do with the Constitution and politics. The Constitution is a limitation of power, people. A limitation of power. Somebody works for you. The Constitution is the contract limiting them what they can do, and they are violating that contract. the Bill of Rights specifically lays out your rights of what you specifically have, not what the government says that you can have. And all of this is tied into what? Food. People don't, they can't see, they cannot grasp politics and food and politics and the right to drink raw milk or not drink raw milk.
Absolutely.
The right to buy vitamins from an herbalist versus going to Walmart and buying some big pharmaceutical junk.
Right.
We have cures for cancer. You look at any newspaper from the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, and people, you find me 10 articles where somebody died in all the newspapers in America that died of cancer. And you're not going to find 10 articles. Because, people, we had cures. And all the way up until 1910, you could walk into a pharmaceutical store anywhere in America and order laudanum. You could buy marijuana, heroin, cocaine. Pharmacists ran ads on their front window. Special cocaine today.
I've seen the advertisements.
Cocaine is a lifter of spirits.
But there was no crime.
I'm not saying that we need to legalize all of these drugs. I'm saying we should legalize them and put them under control back into the hands of a pharmacist and then limit what a person can buy. Marijuana was grown in all 50 states, or 46 states in 1900. But was it used by anybody? I mean, you pick up a book and you hear about a cow going nuts out there for eating loco weed. What do you think the loco weed was?
I like the loco weed myself.
You know? And I look at this and I say, we had all the way... Even today, the Russians grow marijuana for the rope
hemp.
To make the best ropes, natural ropes in the world. They still grow it, even though the New World elitists want to stop it because marijuana's got so many cures. It's God's cure-all. I wouldn't say cure-all, but it's God's blessing to the people of this planet. And people don't use it. It can feed the world.
It's got many uses.
We don't use it for food. We put pulp from the paper mill in our food. Taco Bell. 10% of your tacos are paper mill pulp. 10%. You think it's meat. People think I'm crazy. I come on the radio. I did a 6-day-a-week, 3-hour-a-day show for 2 years. Finally gave it up to where I would only do 3 days a week now.
Yeah, that's demanding.
People thought I was nuts. But I documented everything. The government doesn't like me. They got a daggum apartment across the street from my house where they bring agents in periodically to watch me.
Here's the irony, Drew. Drew, you are a 10-year veteran. If anybody has the right to free speech, it's our veterans.
It's not just me. It's every veteran out there. And you, and
exactly.
You think I'm the only one? Look at Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman is a veteran. Bob, and you may not know who Bob Chapman is. He's a financial advisor. This man is in his late 70s, early 80s. And this guy and his wife have uncovered the Ponzi scheme of New York City. He is the most pleasurized financial advisor in the world. He's pleasurized by the Russians. The Chinese pull his information. This man has friends in the right places in over 113 countries worldwide. And yet, he lives outside the United States because the mainstream financial people of New York want him dead. And he doesn't live in the same house for more than a year. The man is under threat. He goes where he wants to go. He lives his life just like God said, you know, live free and independent as best you can.
Well, Drew, I think you'll probably agree with me that pretty much, the federal government is the enemy.
The federal government is the enemy of the people of this planet because they
marry
in with the Illuminati, the fascists,
exactly,
the Nazis, and the Stalinists, and the Marxists.
I have a question for you.
To hear that from a decorated United States Marine. They don't want to hear it from other military personnel like General Borkin. They don't want to promote the history of Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, two times the recipient of the Medal of Honor. Two times!
Right.
The recipient of the nation's highest medal and the recipient of the Marine Corps Bravette Medal that was created in the 1890s because in the 1890s the Medal of Honor was given out to politically. Until 1905, when Congress got a hold of itself, pulled its bootstraps on under Teddy Roosevelt as the President of the United States, and they cleaned up the Medal of Honor, and they took back 36 Medal of Honors from 36 recipients from the previous 40 years, going back to the Civil War, because they were issued as politically to friends and relatives.
I didn't know that.
During that period of time, it got so bad in the 1890s, the Marine Corps said, we need a medal for Marines. And Major General Smedley Darlington Butler was one of 18 Marines to receive the Bravette Medal, which was based on what we use today, or what we've been using for the last 90 years, as the basis for the United States Medal of Honor. But Major General Smedley Butler received the Medal of Honor for two more times.
Once, yes, he was very highly decorated.
In the fight in Mexico, and once in the fight in Colombia. The man, Major General Smedley Butler, was 5'8", weighed 138 pounds, was a Quaker, believed in God, prayed three times a day, but he didn't hesitate to pick up a gun and shoot the enemy.
He fought valiantly, believed in the
Constitution. He believed in the right of the American people to live free and independent. He believed that income was a personal pay for what he worked. He did not believe it had a right to be taxed. He did not believe in the fact that people had to have a driver's license. Matter of fact, he didn't have a driver's license. He drove a car, but he didn't have a driver's license. In the state of Kentucky didn't have driver's license for their people until after 1950. They were the last state in the Union to bring forth a driver's license, and they didn't have pictures on their driver's license until after 1970.
Huh.
People don't know the real history. We had people out there fighting for truth, honor, and justice, but everybody is taught about the bad part about it. If you start talking about John Fitzgerald Kennedy, everybody wants to talk about the women that he slept and the adultery he did. But they don't want to talk about the fact that John Fitzgerald Kennedy and his brother, Robert Kennedy, they were not a member of any secret organization. They did not believe in being a member of the Illuminati and being a member of the presidential staff of the United States. People don't realize. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was ordered and forced by his father and members of the Democratic Party to mandate that his vice president be Lyndon Baines Johnson. Robert Kennedy was assassinated because he was going to uncover the full truth of the murder of his brother. Ed Kennedy was part of the bad system, Everybody has a skeleton in the closet. Ed Kennedy was the bad apple of the Kennedy family, and you see how long he lived and the atrocities he did, including murder, and got away with it.
Drew, he spent his whole life enlarging and expanding the welfare state.
Exactly. And what was that welfare state started by? Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Well, FDR had a lot to do with it, too.
FDR had a hell of a lot to do with it. Excuse my French.
Drew, let me back up a little bit. I have a couple of questions. You said something earlier that you were protesting in the 90s and after that.
I spent $250,000 bringing forth talk show host and protesting the government of the United States during the Clinton administration, beginning April the 19th, 1993.
Okay.
Most people do not refer to that date or even know what that date is, lives in infamy, as the day the Branch Davidian complex burned to the ground and 63 children were murdered.
Oh, that was the day. Okay.
And from that day forth, I united with former United States Marines, former United States Air Force, active duty Air Force, active duty Army, active duty National Guardsmen to form the United States Militia Corps of Arkansas. I worked with gun show promoters, advocates for the constitutional convention with limitations on mandating what the convention would be discussed. I worked with
I'm listening.
I'm trying to figure out. I forgot all the people that I worked with back in those days. It was so many. I worked with people that advocated state citizenship, advocated the fact that we have rights under the Constitution to keep and bear arms and free speech.
We do.
I actually went before the Supreme Court of the state of Arkansas 21 times. I lost 19. I won 19 times. I lost 2.
Wow. Here's another question for you.
Back in the 1990s, you didn't even mention my name in a law firm around Little Rock without somebody saying, oh, that's the guy out on Highway 10 with no driver's license, no license plate, and he has 4 cars.
Okay. I have another question for you. Are you a member of the Oath Keepers?
I'm not a member of anybody, but I believe in the Oath Keepers.
Okay, thank goodness, because this is my question to you. If it hits the fan in this country, and I kind of fear a civil war between the haves and the have-nots, and many of the have-nots today are regular, just fine, upstanding American blue-collar people who have no work, who have no jobs. I fear civil war between the haves and the have-nots. I also fear food riots. So my thing about our vets and even our active duty military is I hope that they will never fire on the American people in a peaceful protest. If it comes to that, I hope they will never turn their guns on the American people.
What's the question?
What do you think about this? I mean, Since you support the Oath Keepers, you're not necessarily a member. I understand where you're coming from. You support their ideals. What do you think would happen? I mean, we've got these FEMA camps supposedly for illegals. I think we know that's probably just a facade. So
we have
fission
camps. We have FEMA camps for the American people.
So do you see the possibility of insurrection?
What we have in America is a brewing of middle class. It hasn't happened yet. It is going to happen. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you live in Vermont and you want the you're a member of the secession movement of Vermont. I don't care if you live in Oregon or the 6 northern counties of Oregon and the 7 southern counties of Washington State, wanting to secede from your states and form the state of Jefferson. I don't care if you live in Maryland and you want to secede from the eastern part of Maryland and have the western part of Maryland as one state and the eastern part of Maryland as another state. I don't care if you live in Louisiana, Mississippi, Oregon, Michigan, Nebraska, Wyoming. I don't care where you are in the continental United States or Alaska or Hawaii. I will tell you this. Americans are fed up. Americans include the sons, the daughters, the wives, the husbands, the uncles, the aunts, the brothers, the sisters who are serving in the United States military. And they will not take arms against the general public. They may take arms and look like they're marching on an unruly crowd in Watts, Los Angeles, San Diego, Dallas, Detroit, New Orleans, whatever. But they are going to be just like the National Guard of Kent University fame. The day after, you couldn't get a member in the National Guard to show up for duty.
Wow.
Now, put that in your peace pipe, people. Understand, in the heat of the moment, there's going to be bloodshed. But when the men and the women go back to the barracks and sit down and realize what they've done, you're going to be hard-pressed to get them out of the chow line the next morning. You're going to be hard-pressed to get them into the chow line to even eat, much less get them out there on the firing line to go against the American people.
That's an interesting take. I never looked at it that way, but thank you for that, Drew, because I'm going to keep that in mind.
Look, here's a classic point. Everybody talks about the Marine Corps in California, getting a test and taking a test, and on the questionnaire, will you take arms away from the American people if you're ordered to do so? What they don't bother to tell you throughout that test, less than 12% said yes. What they fail to tell you is that over 40% of the questionnaires had memos written off to the side, and I will not lower myself to the language that was used by these Marines. They were educated. If you're in the Marine Corps, you're high school educated. You're graduated from the high school. You're not a dropout. But the foul language, it was written on the side of the questionnaires telling whoever would put the question out to go stick it.
Wow.
To shove it up their posterior. The Constitution lives. Do you know who put this questionnaire together? Do you not believe in the Bill of Rights? Was written all the way through it. There isn't 20% of the United States Marine Corps without a Constitution in their pocket.
Wow.
People don't want to talk about the fact that it's not just the United States Marine Corps. It is military men who believe in America. And they believe in what the people are doing. And right now, they're just trying to feed their families.
Right.
People are just trying to feed their families. But the truth about 73,000 Americans having been killed in the Middle East has yet to be promoted by mainstream media. And just like Major General Butler, war is a racket. The Middle East war is a racket. Who's getting rich? Follow the money.
Well, let me tell you who I think is benefiting mainly from this and 9/11. And of course, I look at it as also the demonization of Islam, because the U.S. had no enemies in the Middle East prior to 1948, when Israel was violently imposed upon Palestine. And ever since then, it's been a mess. And the foreign aid that we give Israel and the free American-made murder weapons, it's come back to haunt us. And nowhere in the U.S. Constitution does it say that the American taxpayer is responsible endlessly for Israel, and Israel is not our 51st state. I'm an America-firster.
I agree with you. Look at you, Yahoo News. Yahoo News says, in Yahoo News, day before yesterday, the United States government is withholding $800,000 from Pakistan.
Sorry, $800 million.
$800 million, I'm sorry. $800 million from Pakistan. And when you read through the article, you find out that that's one-third of the money that the United States gives Pakistan. Well, where does the United States government get that money, people? From your falsified taxes. Every time you pay your phone bill, there's a federal tax on it. Every time you buy gasoline, there's federal tax on it. Every time you purchase water, there's a federal tax on it. You pay your gas, natural gas bill, there's a federal tax on it. Anything that goes through a pipeline, whether it's water, gasoline, ethanol, oil, raw crude, it's taxed. And then it's taxed again, and it's taxed again. And you just made a minute ago about you see a civil war coming. There is a civil conflict in America of, you said, the haves and the have-nots. On my show, I promote every week. I take 15 to 30 minutes to tell people you need to learn how to grow your own food. You need to learn how to barter instead of just buying. You need to do this because the power is going to get shut down. And there are 500,000 jobs in America that are going to be laid off in the next year or so by the Obama administration and the bill, the Senate bill, 1310, which is going to outlaw your natural herbs and your supplement vitamin. There are over 500,000 people that work in the supplement vitamin industry in America, and some congressman or senator says, we've got to regulate it. Whatever happened to the right that John Fitzgerald Kennedy said we had a right to do? Live free and independent. The first man in America that had a doctor's license from a university was a black man. A license to be a doctor was not mandated until after 1915.
Well, the Rockefellers are behind that, too, with the AMA.
Exactly. Marijuana was not outlawed until 1933. Was it a problem? Was there any drug problem in America before 1933? No. There hasn't been a drug problem in America until 1963 when the LBJ and the CIA and the Air America started bringing massive amounts of drugs from the Golden Triangle of Southeast Asia. But nobody wants to talk about the truth, BK.
I know.
There's so much to talk about.
So many people.
You take a map of the world, and I'm all over it. And I know I am. I don't have enough time to come forth on any radio show and show you specifically when people ask the question, well, where's your proof here? I had a guy get on my show Friday and jump all over me about the black man that created Chicago. He comes forth and he says, well, Chicago was formed in 1833, not 1771. Well, wait a minute. Chicago was incorporated as a city in 1833, asking the permission from the state of Illinois to be a city. But the settlement of Chicago was formed in 1771 by a black man with a French name.
Well, that makes sense.
Hey, people, they want to hit all over the place with all the BS, but they don't want the truth.
speaking of truth, you talked about how people, Americans of all different types and stripes, are really fed up in different age groups, and I'm totally with you on that. Drew, do you think that all this TSA BS has really pushed this along, this TSA?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the fuse to burn all the way into the powder. And people say, well, what do you mean, Drew? I'm waiting to pick up the new, and I don't have a newspaper. I read over 160 news articles or news promotion, for lack of a better term, newspapers. But I read all this off the internet from 160 sources. And what I see is one morning I'm going to pick up my mouse, turn my computer on, start clicking on my news sources, and I'm going to read probably from a European newspaper or a Russian newspaper.
Of course.
The fact that some three TSA officers in Bangor, Maine were killed on the way to work, or three TSA officers in Miami were killed getting out of their car at the airport, or the TSA office in Washington, D.C. went up in smoke this morning. That's what's going to happen. Just like what happened in 1776 when the brave men and women of the colonies had enough of Lord North and King George and the tyranny of the British government elitist that we have now today. But today, they're not the monarchy. Today, they're the Nazis, the Marxists, the communists, the fascists, the Stalinists, the imperialists, united together in the regime of the Illuminati, destroying America.
The Rockefeller-Rothschild axiom. If we had the same level of government as we did in 1776 with King George, I'd rather live under the British crown than what we have today. If you compare the size and the scope and power, it was small. The colonists revolted over a lot less of injustice than we have today by our own government.
I believe that there's a few of us out here that have been wounded in combat, that have served in combat, that have worked in intelligence, that the United States, I'm not going to say the United States. What I'm saying is an elusive group of men and women behind the scenes have united together, and they are corrupt. They believe that they are doing something good and right, but they have been massaged and raised to basically recite the truth because they feel Americans need to be controlled and told what to do. Therefore, they are willing to be part of murdering people, putting people in jail for the sake of their power
and their jobs.
And it's like the elevator inspector who is your next door neighbor. And he goes out and he inspects elevators. And I bring up the elevator inspector because I have a friend that is whose next door neighbor is an elevator inspector, and he told me this last week that the elevator inspector was closing down apartment complexes that were three stories where their elevators hadn't been inspected in over 10 years, and he laughed because they needed a 20 a $20 spring to meet the code for that elevator.
I've been through that with inspectors. I hate it.
So they shut the building down.
Drew, I don't want to. I hate to interrupt you here, my friend, but I've got to wind this down. My producers, my time is up. But I want to thank you very much for coming on. I hope you'll come on again in the future at my request, because we have plenty more to talk about. You're an interesting guy.
Just remember this, PK. When you go up, the rest of this week, remember, 500,000 jobs are going to be lost if we don't do something about Senate Bill 1310 and attacking the government who wants to shut down the food supplement industry.
Yeah, they've tried to do this before. So once again, thank you so much,
God
Drew.
God bless you. Thank you for the invitation.
I really appreciate speaking with you, and consider me a friend, and we'll keep in touch.
We'll talk again. Don Nikoloff's up next, guys.
Okay,
God
keep
bless.
Up the good work. And I would like to say goodnight to everybody now as I sign off here on Third Stream View. I'm your host, PK. I'll be back here same time next week, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. Until next week, this is your humble host, PK, saying thank you. Talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.